We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's 11:06. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. You're going to hear a lot more about this tomorrow, so just real quick, then we'll go back to our topics and discussions here. The St. Louis County Council has confirmed 8 of their 9 freeholders for their Board of Freeholders. This, of course, stems from the entire effort to force a merger between St. Louis City and St. Louis County. One of the things the opponents of that merger, known as Better Together back then, is they tried to exercise the Board of Freeholders option to put something competing. Of course, Better Together imploded on itself, as it should have. But now there is a Board of Freeholders process that is in place. So that's probably going to be in the news the next couple of days or the next week or so. Now, the Board of Freeholders can absolutely meet and vote to say, nope, we're not going to do anything. We're going to put nothing on the ballot. But, you know, if a bunch of merger supporters get in, which I don't know whether these folks are pro or against merging. I don't really know any of them. Mark Mantovani is one of them. He ran for county executive and lost in the Democratic primary. But they could put something on the ballot to propose some kind of merger. Or they could say no. Personally, I say you just say no. That's my opinion. At least right now. Anyway, 800-925-1120. I mentioned this a little bit earlier because a couple people that I've just brought this up to have had a lot of different opinions. I mentioned the other day I'm driving home and I'm on Highway 40 and I'm under, I don't remember if it was King's Highway or which road it was, but there was a bunch of clearly young people, high school students, walking across the bridge. Some of them had signs up, so they're protesting something, and I didn't know what they were protesting. Turns out they're protesting the firing of one of their football coaches slash teachers. He broke some kind of rule on social media stuff and connected with the kids. I have not heard anything that indicates he said anything inappropriate or anything like that, nothing like that, but he broke the rules. So they're protesting him, and to me, my question isn't even about that case. I don't know anything about the coach. I don't know what he did or didn't do. It just dawned on me that we're seeing so many times students deciding we're going to get up and walk out of school and protest. And that's kind of a new thing. I mean, I understand the 60s had some protests and things like that, but when did that be okay? Parents, when did it be okay for your kids to say, I'm so woke and socially conscious, whether it's conservative or liberal or whatever, that I'm going to get up and disobey the rules of the teacher and the school and whatever, and I'm going to go off and march out of school, and I'm going to go march in the street to protest something. Are you okay with this when your student does it? I was talking about this to my wife the other day. She's a teacher, but she teaches at a university level. She's not at a high school. And I said, you know, if I were a teacher, because I don't think this is what the school hours are for, and you can go back to the climate and environmental protests that we've seen from time to time. In this case, they're protesting that a school's firing a coach. I guess back in the day, my wife said that when she was in high school, some students got up and walked out and protested that there was no smoking policy. And sometimes there, I know with the Black Lives Matter controversies in Ferguson, there were students who would just get up and march out and think that they're doing something. Well, first of all, I'm not a real big protest guy. I don't know that they actually do anything anyway. But if I were a teacher, if it's one of these announced days, on this day, we're going to get up and go protest, we're all going to march out, I would schedule a big test for that time. I would schedule it for that day. And if they got up and marched out, well, I mean, I'm not going to physically restrain you, but if you don't come back before class is over, I guess you didn't finish your test. That's my take on it. But maybe you disagree. Maybe you think it's a good thing that high school students are deciding that instead of being in class, that they're going to be socially engaged and they're going to get up and start protesting something and hold signs and chanting. We've seen it on the immigration issue. We've seen it on abortion. We've seen it on all kinds of stuff. I would never allow my kids to do that. If the school called me and said, your kid got up and walked out of class, kids going to have to deal with me at home because that's not what they should be doing. 800-925-1120. Again, I understand there's a lot of people who say, no, it's good that they're engaged and they're more connected than before. To me, there's a time and place. You want to protest? Listen, do it before school. Do it after school. Do it on the weekends. Do it during your lunch break, whatever. But one of the reasons maybe that we have so many people now who think rules don't apply to me, I'm not going to be held accountable because I'm doing something I believe in. Therefore, I shouldn't have any consequences for it. Listen, if you want to do social disobedience, civil disobedience, if you will, part of the deal is that you suffer the consequences for it. Otherwise, you're just an entitled brat to say, nope, I decide which rules apply to me and which rules don't. All right. Speaking of rules, this story comes out of North Carolina. I'm not a big fan of homeowners associations. Can I just say that? I remember years ago I was looking at homes and the real estate agent. And listen, if they're for you and you love them, hey, God bless you. Good on you. Have at it. I'm not going to be your neighbor. So we'll have to meet at the coffee shop. But they took me to a couple places that had homeowners associations. And I said, well, let me see the rules at the first one. And they showed them. I'm like, well, I'm not giving up that kind of authority over my home. If I'm going to spend this amount of money on it, I'm going to decide what I'm going to paint it. I'm going to decide, you know, which shutters I want, which door I want. And so by the second time, they took me to a home that had a homeowners association. I just questioned the real estate agent. Didn't I make myself clear the first time? Well, yeah, but I thought you'd love this home. It's worth it. I fired that real estate agent. So a North Carolina family lost their son, Leslie and Dave Kendra. That's their name. Their son named Clayton was killed back in February. He was killed in Aurora, Illinois. He was at work and it was a workplace violence case, mass shooting, where a disgruntled former coworker walked in and just started shooting people. And their son was one of the people who was killed tragically. So they decided to honor him on their home, and they put up a flagpole. And they put up an American flag, and then they put up a flag that said Aurora Strong, which was kind of the theme that came out of that. And the Homeowners Association notified them that they didn't ask permission to put up a flagpole on their own property. They could face $100 per day in fines because they didn't ask the Homeowners Association permission to put up a flagpole. And they said, we're trying to honor our son. Rules are rules. You signed up for the Homeowners Association. You know that you have to ask us permission for that sort of thing. And one, that's a reason why I would never live in a home that's part of a homeowners association. I just won't give up that kind of authority. But two, is it really the right thing to do for the HOA to send them a notice of violation? Here's the potential fine, and you're going to have to take this thing down, or you're going to have to go through this process to retroactively do the permission. How about you realize that it's a flagpole? Apparently it's not a very tall one. And let them honor their son. 800-925-1120. Let me know what you think. I'm Mike Ferguson. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
Get home fast and informed. Total Information PM starts weekdays at 4 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX and KMOX.com. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I like that. Nice and bluesy. It is 11, let's call it 1120. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. By the way, you can catch my TV show each week, Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on Channel 24 here in St. Louis. If you are in another part of the state, it's called Missouri Viewpoints. You can catch me Sunday mornings on Springfield's Fox Station and Joplin's Fox Station and the Fox Station and NBC Station in St. Joseph. Or you can just look up Missouri Viewpoints on Facebook or connect with me on Twitter at M Ferguson Media. This coming weekend, I've got Republican State Representative Nick Schroer and Democratic State Representative Peter Meredith giving us their take on the wrapped up legislative session that we had this year and also what they're looking to do in 2020. Representative Meredith, I'll give you a spoiler. Representative Meredith says we need some more gun control. Representative Schroer says we do not. So check out that conversation. 7 a.m., Channel 24, Sunday, right here in St. Louis. You know, a lot of people oppose President Trump. They don't like his policies. They don't like his personality. Personally, I try to judge him by the policies. There are some things that he has done that I really like. There are other policy decisions that I don't like. I think that somebody with his personality is probably not the guy I want living next door to me, and I'm probably not going to wander out in the backyard if he's out there barbecuing because I don't want to strike up a conversation. But that has nothing to do with whether or not, what I think of his presidency. I wish somebody would take away his phone so he'd stop tweeting so much. So there are ways to oppose politicians you don't like. In this case, we'll just say President Trump because, you know, he's the guy in power. You can vote against him in 2020. That's one way. You can contact your Congress critters and say, I want you to oppose him. Okay, that's perfect. That's all part of the process. You can call into shows like this and voice your opinion. You can write letters to the editor. You can do all kinds of stuff, blog, whatever. Well, on October 25th, which is going to be, Friday, I guess it is. Friday is October 25th, I think. Specifically at 11:59 p.m., we're getting very specific here. Thousands of witches, yeah, they have agreed to simultaneously conduct a ritual which is meant to bind Donald Trump. Well, why do we need impeachment now? The witches are going to hex him. I actually wish I was kidding about this. So unlike a curse, I can't believe I'm actually reading this as though it's serious. Unlike a curse or a hex, according to the story about this, the witches say a binding spell is not meant to cause harm. Rather, the witches hope to prevent President Trump from doing harm to the United States by his actions. And so they believe that they are going to be doing something positive for the country by doing their hocus pocus, abracadabra, put the rat's tails and toad's eyes in the sauce or whatever the case is. A binding ritual, though, according to the articles that I found about this, those participating in the ritual are instructed to call on demons of the infernal realms for help in binding Trump. So I think you just gave President Trump some new marketing ammunition, is that the demons of the infernal realms are against me, so you know that I must be on the right side of things. I mean, if Beelzebub is your opponent, it's pretty easy to convince people that you're maybe on the better side of things. So if you happen to be a witch and you're looking for somebody to spell or hex or bind or whatever you're going to do, you're supposed to do it this week. So mark it on your calendar, okay? So if in case you're wondering how they were going to do this, by the way, the ritual calls for the use of an unflattering photo of Trump. Those are easy to find. A tarot card, because of course, and the stub of an orange candle. And then they're supposed to call on call on the heavenly hosts, demons of the infernal realms, and spirits of the ancestors to bind Trump so that his malignant works may fail utterly. Okay. You heard it here first. If you want to give me a call and tell me how you're going to hex me, and that's the number to do it. Oh, man. What else we got going on here? Oh, here we go. Halloween's a weird time. Speaking of that sort of thing, I don't really do much with Halloween anymore. This year I'm going to be out of town anyway. But when I was a kid, you dressed up, you know, like a cowboy, or you dressed up like a ball player, or you dressed up as, you know, an astronaut, or whatever the case is. You went and trick-or-treated, and that was your thing. To me, it's just kind of gotten darker over the years. So my kids and I didn't really do it when they were little, and they're both in their 20s now. So what we did is we just simply turned the light off in the house, and we went out to eat, and then maybe went to a movie. It's like the only movie I went to each year. So we're just like, I don't want to deal with the trick-or-treaters. And it just wasn't really our thing. Listen, you want to dress up and go, hey, knock yourself out. I actually like the ghost stories, even though I don't believe them. But we also have every year, there's some kind of story about somebody complaining about the costumes. You're culturally appropriating the costumes. If you are not of Mexican descent, let's say, then somebody says you have no right to dress up in a sombrero or to dress up in Southwestern gear. If you are not, and it would be another good one. If you are not maybe Japanese, then you are not, or a Japanese descent, then you're not allowed to dress up as an Asian character or a ninja or something like that. I think it's stupid. I mean, I think that is overly sensitive. If there is any time when we should say, heck yeah, go ahead and appropriate my culture or anybody else's because it's Halloween. Well, oh boy. Okay, so Furman University now has an acts of intolerance policy which could punish theme parties, costumes, anything that reinforces stereotypes. And yes, this includes Halloween costumes. So college students are thinking about what are they going to dress up at. University officials say, no, you've got some limits here. We have rules. And I'm quoting again, when an act of intolerance is targeted towards a specific person, it may rise to the level of discriminatory harassment. Okay, I can live with that. But the policy states that an act of intolerance can be defined as, and again, I'm going to quote, as any conduct that serves no scholarly purpose appropriate to the educational experience and demonstrates bias against others. So under the policy, some costumes and theme parties can prompt additional investigation according to their policies. And this isn't the only school. I'm not picking on Furman just because it's them. I mean, this happens all over the place. But you have a theme party, and let's say that you decided to have, I don't know, a toga party. That's what, Greek? Well, I guess you could say you're making fun of their culture. That could cause an additional investigation. Additionally, culturally offensive gestures. I don't know what that would be. What would be a culturally offensive gesture? Vandalism and the use of slurs could be considered acts of intolerance. Well, vandalism certainly is. But slurs, okay? Here's the problem I have on this. Is that a college campus is where you're supposed to be exposed to all sorts of other stuff. And I've got news for the administrators of Furman University and every other college out there. A lot happens that's not scholarly on a college campus. At least it sure did when I was in college. And so this is the time when you actually should be embracing freedom. Now, listen, a white guy dresses up in a sombrero and a poncho for Halloween. There's nothing scholarly about that. They're not exchanging high level of ideas. I get that. It's a college kid trying to do a costume for Halloween. So it's not the place of colleges to be the thought and the speech and the fun and the party police, other than to keep people from, you know, getting hurt and doing something really, really stupid. And so we see this all the time, but for so many universities, they've got this default position that says, well, this could be offensive to somebody. This could offend them. This could, violate what we think is the right thing to do. Not that it's taking anybody's money, not that it's damaging any property, you know, vandalism and theft and all that, cover that, but that somebody might not like it and they may think it's not appropriate. So therefore, we're going to write it into rules and we're going to punish people. We're going to investigate people. Well, first of all, you're going to take all the fun out of Halloween for those who enjoy it. And secondly, we shouldn't be going through life and we shouldn't be training up another generation of people to come up through life thinking, not what can I do, but worrying so much about, I got to think of all the things I can't do. I've got to think about all the ways that somebody else may be hurt instead of me and my friends just having fun. Listen, I'm a pretty religious guy, and I have had many times where people say something absolutely offensive to my faith. Grew up evangelical Christian. Okay. Does that mean I get to run to somebody and say they're mocking my faith? There's plenty of that that happens on college campuses. No, I don't. I guess I could complain about it just like they can make fun of it. But somebody dresses up as Jesus for a Halloween costume. Do I get myself all twisted into knots being upset about it? No, I personally don't. Even if it's really offensive, if you're Catholic, when I know a popular costume is a pregnant nun. Is it offensive? Well, if you're Catholic, I'm sure it is. I'm not Catholic, so I'm probably going to snicker at it. But that's the kind of thing that a university would say you can't do because somebody might be offended. And I'm kind of tired of it. I said a couple hours ago, you know, I'm pretty much a free speech absolutist. I'm telling you right now, you've got the right to offend me. I've got the right to tell you you're a jerk. But you should have the right. Our default position should be allowing people, especially kids, and college kids or young kids, to allow them to make mistakes and allow them to do stuff that's stupid, as long as you're not actually physically hurting somebody or putting them in danger. If you're in danger of being offended, that shouldn't count at all. When we restrict speech, when we restrict ideas, let me tell you why all this matters, where I'm going with this. When you restrict speech and people become conditioned to have their speech restricted, it is just a tiny step before you restrict and you control thought. And so, yeah, to some degree, it's about costumes and just an overbearing university system that won't let 18 to 22-year-olds have their Halloween fun. But the other part is all of these things that condition. It can be Halloween costumes. It can be these ordering people to say certain pronouns. It can be, you know, not allowing religious groups to remain just a group of people who believe like them. If you've got all of these different approaches and all of these constant rules that say you can't say that, you can't display that, you can't think that, because that's what's next. You're not allowed to object. You're not allowed to provoke. Now I'm talking about provoking thought or emotion. You're not allowed to do that. What you're really saying is, we want to tell you what you're allowed to think and what you're not. So it's one thing to roll your eyes when you hear university bans acts of intolerance or ethnically stereotypical costumes. Now, you may very well be a jerk. I'm not saying it's a good thing to do them. What I'm saying is always look at the bigger picture. Are we really telling students this is about offending people, or are we really just conditioning students to be told what to think and what to say? 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson. In for Ryan Recker. It is 1134. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
You know, speaking of sports, game one of the World Series is over. Nationals 5, Astros 4. I'm not a gambler, but if I were, I'd still take the Astros. I'm thinking Astros in 6. But hey, pretty good game that happened tonight. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. Ryan will be back next week, I believe. I will be back on Thursday, so hope to talk to y'all again there. The number here is 800-925-1120. Speaking of sports, the St. Louis XFL franchise, the St. Louis Battlehawks, announced their schedule. So if you look them up, you can see they've got 10 games, and almost all of them are on Fox stations, although three of them are going to be on ESPN. So your St. Louis Battlehawks going to be all over TV. They're playing at the Dome. Interesting story. I read when they were coming into town, the St. Louis Business Journal had a pretty cool story, and I talked to the reporter, Jacob Kern, about it. The XFL franchise came into St. Louis and did not ask for a penny in any sort of public support. And we're so used to sports teams coming in saying, well, we're going to bring thousands of people to the Dome, and we're going to create some jobs, so what's in it for us? Come on, give us something. They didn't do that. Matter of fact, I was told that the Battlehawks actually are paying full price for the rental of the Dome. And I spoke with the president of the Battlehawks the other day, and he told me that what they're going to do is they are just not going to sell the tickets for the upper level of Dome. Everything's on the bottom ring of the Dome, which makes sense. No one expects them to bring an NFL crowd in. But tickets start at like $20. So that's cool. I am one of those people who kind of lost interest in the NFL a few years ago. When they started getting really political, I just kind of lost interest. It wasn't that I agreed or I disagreed with the protests that were happening. I just kind of lost interest because they were making my fun and my amusement political. The reason that we watch sports, one of the many, many reasons that we watch sports, is because that's where we go to agree on stuff. We can fight all week long. Oops. We can fight all week long over politics or religion or what we should name the street in the neighborhood or whatever the case is. But you know what? If you're in an NFL city, come Sunday, you're all wearing your team colors. You're in Kansas City, you're wearing red and gold for the Chiefs. You're here in St. Louis on game day, you're wearing red for the Cardinals, man. So that's one of the great things about sports, to me. You're in Columbia, black and gold for Mizzou, orange and blue for the Illini. And so this is kind of a breath of fresh air to me. I don't know if the XFL football is going to be any good, but I'm going to probably give it a shot just because, yeah, football's fun. I found out that I can live with it, live without it rather. And I think that's maybe what maybe stunned the NFL a little bit is that a whole lot of their audience said, yeah, I'm not going to deal with all this political stuff. I don't want to deal with that. I'll deal with that later. If you bring it on Sundays or Monday nights and Thursday nights, I'm not going to deal with it. And they found out there were a lot of people who said, oh, yeah, I can deal without the NFL. Places like St. Louis, we've got Major League Baseball. You know, other cities, you've got the NBA or you've got a major college. And you just found out that I've got other things I can do. They're probably spending the same amount of money on some other entertainment, maybe another sport, maybe something else. So when the Battlehawks and the XFL comes in, I'm going to give them a shot, personally. And if they just run the league and it's nothing but competition and we've got another team to cheer for here in St. Louis, yeah, I'm going to head down to the Dome. Maybe you'll see me out there. We'll run into each other at the concession stand. So I don't have any sort of a deal with them. I should, you know, when I was talking to the guy, I should have got myself a ticket or a t-shirt or something like that. But anyway, their first game is going to be February 9th, but that's going to be on the road. They're going to be in Dallas, and the first home game for the St. Louis Battlehawks is going to be Sunday, February 23rd, 2 p.m. against the New York Guardians. So you can see it on ESPN, or you can go to the Dome where it's not going to be packed. That first ring may be full or mostly full. That's a big Dome. I mean, as far as seating people, that seats a lot of people. So I wouldn't be surprised if they get 20, 30,000 people out, at least early on in the season. But you can actually get season ticket packages starting at like $100. Wow. I know it's not NFL football, but it's still pro football, and I bet you it's going to be pretty decent. So anyway, I don't know. Google search them, check them out. And, you know, we got a few minutes left here in the hour. I mean, does this interest you at all? If you're somebody who used to watch the NFL, or if you're somebody who still does follow the NFL, does it Does it interest you at all? Because it's kind of got my interest peaked. 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Should you have to take a drug test to get your unemployment benefits? Yeah, we're going to talk about that next hour. Find out why. Well, because there's some rule changes coming from the federal government. Actually, they're not coming. They're here. And we'll tell you what that could mean. Does that mean everybody's got to go get in line to pee in a cup? No, not really. But actually, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that it could be something that's required, but it really wouldn't affect a whole lot of people one way or the other. Also, a little bit later on, President Trump really sets a lot of people off with his choice of words. Imagine that. President Trump having a reckless choice of words. But here's the thing. And again, we're going to talk about this next hour. I get why people are upset, but many of the people who are really upset are hypocritical because they've done the same thing. So there is some kind of tribal partisan bias in all of this. But at the same time, at some point, for crying out loud, can we just expect more of our Congress members and our president when it comes to just simply not saying dumb things? And that goes for Republicans and that goes for Democrats. Also, just a little bit later on here as well, this story just kind of, I mean, my goodness, this story just kind of blew me away. You've got a father who's fighting with his ex-wife over how to rear their son. That in and of itself is not unusual. But the twists and the turns that this story take aren't just about drama, because the mom says, no, this 7-year-old boy is really a girl. And we need to transition him into a girl. The dad says, no, he wants to be a boy. He comes to my house and he plays football and the mother says, no, I'm making him a girl. The father obviously objects. They end up in court and you are not going to believe the verdict that came down between these two. We're going to talk about that next hour. I mean, it just absolutely stunned me about this. Anyway, again, my name is Mike Ferguson, and I am the host of Missouri Viewpoints. That's the TV show. You can also follow me on Twitter at @MFergusonMedia. And then I've also got a syndicated radio show, which is on one of our sister stations here. That's called American Viewpoints. Cover a lot of topics on that, everything from political to educational and everything in between. Okay, so before we get to the end of the hour here, would you give up Google and Google services for $17,000 a year? The Federal Reserve is actually asking that question. So Federal Reserve Board Chairman Jerome Powell said at a news conference after a Federal Open Market Committee meeting, boy, that sounds like fun, and he says that the Federal Reserve wants to know what the internet is worth to you. And so here's why they're asking. The answer could actually help the central bank, the Federal Reserve, solve one of the most puzzling paradoxes of the modern economy, according to CNBC. The current economic expansion, longest in U.S. history, but productivity gains are weak and GDP growth is not exactly stellar right now. So in a speech this week, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell raised the possibility that the problem is with the data. GDP measures the value of products and services that, you know, you buy and you sell and stuff like that. But a lot of the greatest technology innovations are free. We're talking social media. We're talking internet. We're talking all these things we do digitally now. So Powell looked at some work from MIT. And he says that we need to know if we need to know if all this use of these online tools that we're not measuring is actually cutting into the money changing hands, basically. So the median user in our economy, that's probably you and me, would need about $48 to give up Facebook for a month. That's what it'd be worth for a lot of us. The median price of giving up video streaming services, YouTube, for a year. Would you do that for $1,100? For $1,100, I would not give up YouTube for a year. I just personally would not. To stop using search engines, consumers would demand $17,530, meaning that the search engines are the most valuable service. Of course, no money is really changing hands on the consumer side. We just expect to use them for free. Would you give up all your search engines for 17 grand a year? I don't think that I would, to be real honest. I sure as heck wouldn't give up YouTube for $1,000 a year. I would not do that. But that's an interesting take on it. So much commerce is actually happening, but we're not paying for it. It's all happening on the advertising side. Anyway, 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker here on Overnight America on KMOX.
My heart beats with the lonely rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio, find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't want to spend another night alone, sleeping with the radio on. It's the only way I can make it till dawn. Sleeping with the radio on, you're on my mind, and I can't forget you. Let's take the rest of the day to get it back together, and I would love the telephone. Now that you're here, I'm gonna
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.